If you would, you can go ahead and turn, though, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. There's some verses here. We're going to look at an overview here. We're pretty familiar, I think, with a lot of what's being said here. The Gospel of John, in chapter 14, there's a verse. There's verses in chapter 14, at least 1 through 6 there, verses that are quite often used at funerals because they have a really clear point as far as what goes on in heaven and what God's doing that and how you can get to heaven. But in what we're going to look at tonight here, we're going to look at this and we're going to see where Jesus, and you probably are aware of this, he is seeking to comfort his disciples concerning what he has told them in chapter 13. In chapter 13, we see, first of all, that he told them he was going to be betrayed. And we see that in verse 21 at the end. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." That's pretty devastating, I would think. They all knew each other so very well. They'd been together for 3 years, and I guess they really didn't see it. I mean, it wasn't something that was obvious to them at that point in time. We know that he was quite a rascal and was apparently very good at covering up all the things that he was doing because he was also taking money where he shouldn't. But then the next thing he tells them there is that Peter, the leader, all right, was going to deny him and deny him 3 times. And we see that in verse 38, where it says there, Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" Now he's talking to Peter here, and Peter wants to go with him. Of course, he doesn't understand that Jesus is going to be going to the cross and dying for his sins. But he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." Now, this is Jesus speaking here. Listen up, okay? I've got something from my heart I want to tell you, okay? All right? That the cock will not crow, all right? It says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me 3 times. Now, we know how devastating that was to Peter. It's like God prophesizing or coming to me and telling me something I'm going to do. It's down the road here. And I'm like, how in the world is this possible, God? I mean, I can't imagine me ever doing something like that. Well, God said, "You know what, Rick? You don't fully understand how weak you really are. You don't really understand how easily you can be swayed in this situation. All right, you have a problem with prayer. I've been working with you guys. And so, Peter, this is going to happen." Well, Peter was devastated, as you can all well imagine. Well, along with that, the apostles, the rest of the fellows that were with him there, they were also devastated. This man was a leader. This man had unbelievable potential. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ very much. They saw that. It was something they lived day in and day out for all that time. And nonetheless, Jesus here, as a prophet, in a sense, was telling him at the same time, telling them what he was going to do. And then, thirdly, he also came to the point where he told them that he was going to be leaving them behind, that he was no longer going to be with them. "I'm going to leave you. I've been with you these years. I've been training you, teaching you, discipling you. We've shared food together. We've been in ministry together over these years. You've seen me do all kinds of amazing things in the power of the Spirit, all right? But I've got a job to do, and the job will take me away from you all." And I can't imagine in some ways how that might be. There was a time here at Church the Open Door, and this is several years ago, where it was a morning, and suddenly there was a lot of commotion going on up in the pastor's office there, and he asked me to come in there. The girls in the office asked me to go in there, and I went in. And when I went in there, I heard some of the toughest news I've ever heard. We had a call from down in Florida telling us that Larry had suddenly passed away, Pastor Larry Stainer. And I'm telling you, it was devastating. We sat there and didn't even say anything. We didn't know what to say. Larry was Larry. He was a spiritual man. He was a man that we all loved. He was as charismatic as anybody could possibly be. He loved the Lord. We all knew that. And all of a sudden, we find out that he is no longer with us, that God has called him home. Why? This just doesn't make sense. Well, we talked about it, and then we finally came to the conclusion. Pastor had been preaching up there in Williamsport, and he was on his way down back to the church here. And we were aware of that. And so we decided, you know what, Rick, you're going to have to call Pastor up and tell him what happened. It was awful. So I said, all right, I'll call him. You all remember. But we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray that God helps our pastor deal with this. Because it's going to be, well, we know how we feel. And Pastor and Larry were close. They were very close. And so we prayed. And then I called Pastor. And I told him, I said, Pastor, are you at a point where you can handle some real bad news? He said, well, he said, yeah, go ahead. I can do it. So I told him, I said, well, Pastor, we got a call from Larry's daughter telling us that Larry died this morning, just plain dropped dead of a heart attack. Pastor, I didn't hear a thing except crying. And he told me, he said, Rick, he said, I've got to pull off the road. I don't even know where I'm going at this point. I don't even know what's going on right now. I've lost track of everything that's going on right now. And you need to pray that I can find a place that I can pull over and deal with this very difficult news. Well, nonetheless, we know we all were able to get through all that. And the Lord found somebody to fill in for him. That country boy from down there in the Carolinas, Pastor Ray Shutt. And, of course, he's been doing a wonderful job ever since then. But it's something that none of us at that time will ever forget. It was just one of those things. And so I guess I can understand a little bit what might be going on in the hearts of these men when they find these things out. All right? Fortunately for them, Jesus was there to explain to them why this is going to happen. There's a reason for this. There's a purpose in all that. Now, we didn't have Jesus to tell us in person. We sure would have loved to have him there. He ain't coming back anymore. Okay, he won't come back until he comes to get us all, right? In the clouds, meet us in the air. But we thought, you know what? We got to get in the book. We got to get in the book. We got to look in the book. We got to quote scriptures and comfort ourselves. And then, of course, right after that, they asked me and Carol to go down and be with his family down in Florida. But nonetheless, these folks are very fortunate. They were in a situation that was very difficult to handle. They were getting ready to carry on this ministry themselves. They felt like, man, I think we're getting ready. I think we're getting the point right now. We can do this, all right? We've seen all kinds of things happen. We've been ministering with Christ. We've seen how he does these things and all that. And so, yeah, this, you know, we're going to carry on. We didn't think Jesus was going to leave, all right? But our ministry is beginning to really go right now. And I think God says, you know what, you guys, right now, you're ready, but you're ready in your own strength. You're ready in your own flesh, and you're going to need to take some more time here. So I'm going to kind of upset the boat a little bit and make you realize some things here where you're going to be a little more, we're going to listen to me a little more, you're going to pray a little more, and you're going to try to figure this thing out. You're going to be willing to be more in tune with God and be looking to him and not in your own strength. And so we see here in chapter 14, where it says there, he tells these men, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also me. And it goes on and said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. But that is one of the reasons that I'm going to be leaving you. I want you to understand this. There's a reason why I am going. I am the only one that can do this. And I want to do this. I want to prepare these places for you. I love you. I care for you. And this is my responsibility. So one of the five things he tells them here, and there's five things that he shares with them on why he must leave. And, of course, the first one we see here is a fact that he is going to leave and prepare a place for them. We see it again in verse 3. It says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a promise. And it's a promise that we all cling to in our days. We don't have Jesus personally telling us that. But in this situation here, with these men who are very special men, men that will be charting a course for all of us to follow as Christians today, he wanted them to know this, and he was there for them to tell them that. The second thing he wanted them to know as far as the five reasons why he had to leave and go to the Father would be this, to reveal the Father to them. We see that in verse 9 where he says there, all right, that they would see the Father and they see the Father in him in that situation there. I don't think I wrote that verse down right. Let me see here. I got to do this right. All right. Jesus said unto them, I have been so long with time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? All right. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, all right, then show us the Father. And what he's telling them in this situation here is that you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're one. All right. As hard as this is for you to understand, I and the Father are one. So the Father is right now here with you, the Heavenly Father. He's come to you in flesh to love you, to train you and disciple you. But I've been doing that. That's been my job all along. All right. And when I leave here, that's what your job's going to be. I want you to be revealing the Father. I want you to be revealing Christ in your life and the way you live your life. Number three, we see here, all right, one of the third reason he's going to do this is to grant them the privilege of prayer. And we look at that, we see that in verse 14, where it says, all right, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right, now we all hang on to that, we know. And I tell you what, where he says anything, he means anything. God said, I want you to tell me everything. There's not one thing going on in your life that I don't want to know about. When I go to pray with people, buddy, I tell you what, we pray, we're down to brass tacks. And I have no problem asking God for miracles. I mean, God can do it. Ask anything in my name. Now, I don't know what God's plan is for each individual person that I'm with, but I tell you what, I'm going to ask. Right? Doesn't he want us to do that? He's our loving Father. He said, I can handle it, Rick. You just come to me and ask. Now, you give me the right to decide what I'm going to do in this situation, and don't judge me right away. All right, maybe there's going to be some things I need to work out in this situation. We've seen many a situation here at this church where there was a miracle occurred. We asked God to do it, and he did it. All right, and praise God for that. Now, that doesn't always happen. But God said, I still want you to ask. I still want you to come to me. So we do that. We're a praying church. We know all about these things, don't we? I'm not telling you anything you don't know already. That's why so many people want to make sure Church the Open Door knows what's going on in their life. That prayer bulletin is a testimony of that to our community. All right, the fourth reason he gives them for leaving is to send the Holy Spirit to them. And we see that over here in verse 16 and down, and it says, and I love these verses here, so I'm going to read them, all right? And it says, and I will send the Father, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, all right, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, okay, because they know Jesus Christ, okay? For he dwelleth in you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, and I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will be there for you. There's not a place we go as a Christian that Christ is not there with us. There's not a place that you go where God says, I'm preparing a home for you in heaven. I told you about that. Well, I prepare everything that's going to occur in your life. I've got it all orchestrated. All right? I know exactly what's going on. I know when I'm oftentimes visiting people in the hospital, and one of the things I'll pray while we're there is pray about the caregivers that are going to come in there and minister to our people, our kids. And so I'll pray. I get in there. I say, ask him, Father, give him a nurse that will love this person, that will care about this person, that will have compassion towards this person, that will help meet their needs. And I was just with two of them this past week here. And, I mean, I walked in there, and I'm telling you what, one character, Larry Haynes, okay? And great guy, loves the Lord. And he was in there. Well, I'm telling you what, all the people from the kitchen staff, all right, they were coming up, taking his meal to him. And so he was, you know, talking to him. Well, they just loved him. And he shared the gospel with them. And two of them were saved as a result of that. And on Father's Day, the girls down in the kitchen, they got a piece of paper, folded it in two, and then wrote, Happy Father's Day, all right, Larry Haynes. And he said, look at that. He said, can you believe that? I said, Larry, you know, you're sharing the love of Christ. Yes, I can believe that. I know that, all right? And God's showing his love. Because you know how much he loves you, Larry, even though you've gone through some difficult times, and he has gone through many, okay? But God's just wanting to show you his love, and so he's using those gals down there in the kitchen to do that. How about that? That's good, right? And you know, so often with these nurses, I tell you what, it was so hard for them going through COVID. They took on a job that they never planned on being. They had to be, you know, kind of stern and harsh and all that. And it was very hard on them. But now that's all over. They're kind of gotten back to where they're enjoying themselves and being what the kind of nurse they always wanted to be, all right, compassionate and concerning, no longer having to be the COVID. As one nurse told me, she was a COVID Gestapo, and I hated myself. Wow, that's a tough thing to do. And then also we see here, number five, he granted his peace to them, okay? We see that in verse 27, where it says there, all right, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All right, I'm giving you this peace. And if you'll look to me and trust in me, I will supply that need. And God certainly has done that over the years. I know, but one of the things at this church, it's funny, I had people not long ago tell me, there's just a certain peacefulness that opened up. I feel something. And I'm like, okay, what is that? You know, what? I don't know. It's just, you know, people are friendly there. People seem to really have an interest in me. They're worried about something that I never even give one thought about, and that's a soul. I didn't even know I had one. And yet I've gone in there and found out a whole lot of stuff I didn't know. But they seem to be concerned about something that they knew that they knew I did not know. Well, I tell you what, that's a pretty good testimony, isn't it? Sounds like we might be doing what we're supposed to be doing as far as honoring the Lord and being a friend. We love your brother, all right? That's what God asks us to do. They're going to know you're Christians by the love you have one for another, all right? So probably when they come in, they must be seeing something along that line. All right, so we see that right there. Let's go back, all right? We're going back to the first part of 14. I'm going to go ahead and read a verse here that's basically the theme of this message, which is going to be kind of short. But it says here, all right, in verse 12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also. Wow. Now I tell you what, I love this. When I read that, I thought, praise God, hallelujah. Give me a bus. I want to get out there and be a bus captain. I want to go out there and do these works that Christ has done that I see he's done in the Bible. I'm going to trust him to live the Bible. I'm going to go out there, and Todd Comstock Sr. and myself, we said, we're going to go out there and we're going to prove God. We're going to see if he really will keep these promises, all right? And he said, and we decided he wants to do that. That's what Pastor said. Dr. Smith said that back in those days. So we're going to go out there and see what God will do, what he said. See if we can get people saved. See if we can build up a bus route and do these things that are just seemingly so exciting here. Well, you know what? We got out there and God said, I can do it, brother. And I'm telling you, he did. He blessed us in an exciting way. But then the day came, we began to think, all right, about this verse, and I guess we forgot the last part of it, where it said, okay, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Again, because I go to the Father. Greater works, greater works. Can you imagine that? What he's saying there, we can do greater works than Christ did here on earth? Is that possible? And God said, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't possible. I'm telling you, I can through you. All you need to do is to surrender yourself to me, allow me to work through you, and I'm telling you, I'll do greater works. All right? And then that became our theme song. All right. Are you a greater work Christian? We asked each other that. And we said, well, what do you mean? All right, we're trusting God for greater works. We want this bus ministry to grow. We want this, whatever we're involved serving the Lord in, to grow and see more people saved. So are you a greater works Christian? We got, one of the things I got into during that time there was the bus ministry up in Tawnytown. And this was before Fred and Linda. And at that time, I was on the church board here. And back in those days, we would meet as a church board, and we'd be here till like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. These were very lengthy, I guess. We did a lot of praying, and we sure didn't need it, for sure. But we would do that. And so quite often, when I would go home, and I lived up in Tawnytown, and so as I came into Tawnytown, I came to the square there. You know where that is, coming up Ballmer Street. Well, at the square, there's this big, like a hotel. Back in those days, it had a bar on the first floor, and it had all these like apartment rooms up above it. So I knew that place. We all knew about it. It was basically in, it was a den of iniquity. That's what it basically was. Well, I forget what night we met back in those days, but one night I'm coming into town there, and I pull up there, and I'm looking around, and I look over there on the steps that lead into that apartment, that complex. And I'm thinking, I can't believe that. That's about a 7 or 8 year old kid sitting on those steps, and it's almost 12 o'clock at night. What in the world's going on here? So I'm sitting there thinking about it and pondering this thing over, and then thinking about the things that go on in Tawnytown at that time, and suddenly it hit me. I couldn't believe it. That little boy's mom is upstairs with somebody. I'm telling you, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's a little kid. And this is what's going on in this place here. Right under my nose, we have all this kind of activity going on. And so I began to think about that. I thought, you know, we didn't have a bus ministry up in Tawnytown at that point in time. I said, man, Lord, we got to do something about this. Well, I was thinking about it, and you know how you think about it, and you keep thinking about it, and you're just doing nothing but think about it, okay? Because I was involved in the bus ministry here at the church and all that. Well, then the day came, somebody came to me and said, Rick, I've got some clothes for some children, and the person that you need to take these to is a person that lives in that building you know about in Tawnytown. I would like you to go up into that building and give these clothes to the woman that lives there, and you better take... When you go up there, your wife's going to go there because she needs it. But you better go together because you're just not going to feel good about it unless you do that. So Carol and I got the clothes together. We went to that building there, and we go in the door, and I found out why my mother told me not to go to places like that when I was little. I'm telling you, the things that I saw in the hallway and all that, I couldn't believe it. I'd never been around anything like that in my entire life. And I saw this stuff. And I told Carol, I said, you know what? If you want to leave here, I'm all for it. I mean, I just don't feel good about this. Well, Carol, the brave one, she said, well, let's go ahead and drop the clothes off, and then we'll get out of here as quick as we can. So we go up there and knock on the door, and this fella answers the door. He said, what do you want? I said, well, we're here to drop some clothes off for some children that live in this house or this apartment here. And as soon as we said that, the mother came up. She had these children with her, I think it was like 3 or 4 children, in rags. In rags. I've never seen this. Rags. And she came up, grabbed my wife, and took her off. I don't even know where she went inside there. Well, Carol left me there by myself with 3 guys, all 3 of them sitting there drinking beer, okay, which, hey, that happens. And I'm sitting there, and they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and they're like, well? And I said, well, I tell you what, I'm here to tell people about Jesus, okay? And I didn't know what else to say. And so I said, that's what I want. I'm going to tell you about the Lord and how he wants to say. Well, when I said that, honest to goodness, the fellows that were holding those beer cans, their hands began to shake. I'm not kidding you. And 2 of them, they just left. They said, we're out of here, all right? And so they left the place there, and they left me with this fellow. Well, I started talking to him, and as I was talking to him, he began to cry. I mean, big time tears. And I said, you know, what's going on here? I said, you know, the Lord loves you, and he wants to save you, and he can help you with whatever's going on in your life right now. He said, I don't know if he can. I said, well, I know he can. I said, he's helping me out, so he can do the same for you. And so he began to tell me how he'd been over in Vietnam and all the drama that goes on with that kind of a background. You all, Bob, I know about that. I've heard it over and over again. Very sad. But then he started telling me, he said, but that's not the worst of it. And I said, well, tell me about it. He said, and I think it was like 4 or 5 weeks ago, he said, I was taking care of my sister's kids. And in doing that, I went out and I got a case of beer. All right, they were playing in the yard, fooling around like that, and I was sitting there, and out of nowhere, my sister's little girl fell into the pool, and basically she drowned. Now, she's not dead. She's down there at Hopkins, okay? But they don't think she's going to make it. And I just can't imagine, Rick, that God could ever forgive me for that. I just can't imagine that. Well, then I began to share the love of Christ with him and how God only saves sinners. That's all he saves, nobody else. Until you become a sinner, you're not going to get saved. I made him aware of that. Then we went down to my car, and we talked a little while longer, and then I was able to lead him to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hugged me, a hug of desperation. But I thought, man, Lord, we got to do something about this. And we did. Bob Kimball, you might remember him, and a fellow by the name of Kirvin Kleinenst. All right, they had the burden before I did. We got together and we started a bus ministry up there in Tawnytown. All right. And so we were trusting the Lord for greater works. Okay. The Lord worked. One of the things we saw happen up there was that place pretty much shut down. And it's shut down today. But we thought, you know, we need to trust God for even greater works. Well, the Lord said, I can take care of that. I got a couple, all right, that is just the person you need right now, and that is Fred and Linda Lieb. He said, I'm going to be pride in their heart, and I'm going to get them involved in that ministry. They've been, what, 30-some years? All right. You can't go anywhere in Tawnytown and not meet somebody that hasn't been on that church bus and hadn't been to church the open door and gotten saved. You can hardly go anywhere. That's the ministry. Greater works than these. All right? But do you have faith in that? Are you willing to trust God that way? To see him do something that's way beyond what you would normally believe God could ever do with you. Well, there's several words here I'm going to look at. Okay, well, at least one for sure here. All right? And so in order to have or trust God for greater works, there are certain things that need to be going on in our lives. Over in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of our heart, or your heart, thy heart. All right? And what he's telling us here, we must have desire, and we must have a desire for greater things, a burden on our heart. All right. To me, I look at desire as the engine that should be driving our Christian life. You know, seeing these needs. I think about Tawnytown and what the Lord did up there. All right. And we began to believe the Lord for what he could do. A desire, a burden. All right. And that's what the Lord did to my heart when I went up there. I saw this terrible situation and God said, I'm going to put this desire and I'm going to answer that prayer. I'm going to work, Rick, in your life in a way that maybe you never thought was possible. But nonetheless, I'm going to work and do a miracle up there in that town. And he has very definitely done that. What we need to do as Christians, we need to take the desire. All right, you say, well, look, I've seen a burden. I've seen something, Pastor. It's a situation out there, and it just troubles my heart. I've got a desire here, and I just simply don't know what to do. Well, it's very simple, friend. If you're not sure, if God's put a burden on you, like these folks that are down there in Grenada, okay, they're going to go down there and they're going to get a burden. They're going to see sheep without a shepherd down there, hopelessly going through life, okay? But if God's putting a burden on your heart, the best way to check that thing out, and this is what I did, start pray about it. And if God allows that burden to grow even greater, all right, then I would say probably it's something God says, I want you to get involved in. I've allowed you to see this. I've allowed you to be aware of this. And it definitely is something that I can use you in. So, yes, all right, trust me for this thing. I know a lot of folks right now with all that's going on in our country today and what, even in our towns here, we're like, I've got a burden. I don't know what to do. All right, and I'll be honest with you right now. I'm asking God what to do with our country right now, what to do with our town. How do I deal with this, God? How do I help these people that are, man, they're so messed up? I can't believe this. And I'll be honest with you, right now I am still asking God. I'm asking. Now, God, I feel this desire in my heart, and I've helped in these situations before, but now, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? Do you want me to go and pass tracts out? Do you want me to go and just stand on a street corner and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? I've done that down in South Chicago, and that's about as crazy an area as you ever want to get into. And God was able to get me through that. We saw the Lord work, myself and Gary Polk. But God, I don't know what to do. I know what the gospel tells me to do, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it and do it right. I mean, I'm being judged. Just the fact that I'm a Christian, just the fact that I'm who I am as a person. Now, how do I do this, Father? All right. How do I go there and minister to that situation, those people there? All right. I know you love them. I know you care for them. And I'm talking about all kinds of people right now. All right. We just have to focus on one particular thing. But I know with a lot of Christians I talk to, we're wondering, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you know when I get the answer, okay? Because I'm looking to the Lord to tell me how to handle this situation and how to deal with it as far as what is going on and where our country is headed today, all right? But along with this thing here, we need to ask the Lord, and what really motivates us in service is having these visions. I remember telling a bunch of folks one time, years ago, it tied into Tawny Town. I came back and told Dr. Smith. I said, he was really on, the charismatics were really big back in those days and all this stuff, tongue stuff and all that. And so I came back and told him, I said, Pastor Smith, I have a vision. He's like, okay, let's talk this over, Rick. Okay, I want to know what you're talking about. I said, well, I did. I had a vision. I really did. He said, well, okay, what was the vision? I told him, about seeing that little boy in those steps. Oh, he said, well, that's all right. I understand what you're saying now. All right? God has shown you something, Rick. He has put you in a place, Rick, that you have never been before. He's making you see the neediness, the awfulness of sin. He's helping you to see how terrible it is what people go through in this in these lifestyles. And Rick, God has given you a vision, all right, and it's one he wants you to keep. He told me at that point in time, he said, I really feel, Rick, the time's going to come where you're no longer going to be here, and God is going to take you to serve him in other places, all right? But yes, he has. He's given you a vision, and I thank God for that too. Here at Open Door, we have all kinds of opportunities to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the bus ministry going on. We've got the soul winner ministry going on. We've got everything you can think of and all the equipment that's necessary to do that. Now, you know, I'm getting to be an older person, and I can't do all I wish I could. Believe me, I tell you what, I'd be standing on that bus, brother. I mean, it's just that's how I am. But, you know, we're getting that way. A number of us are getting that way. But, you know, there's still a lot of things we can do in serving the Lord. There's so many places we can serve the Lord in this church here. And, you know, I know a lot of you are doing that. But, again, we need to trust God for greater things. All right, for this church, a greater things. We've gone through a difficult time with all this COVID garbage and everything else. And we're seeming to get beat on every time we turn around. But God said, you know what? Trust me. All right, trust me, I will enable you to do greater things. I need a church today. I need a church in this country today that will be stand-up Christians. Amen. that are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and are willing to go, as we've done already and doing right now, into the uttermost parts of the world. And right now in our country, the uttermost part of the world is could be on Main Street. I mean, a place, you know, I went to a place and when I went in there, I'm like, I can't believe people live like this. I can't believe that these children are in a situation like I was blown away by all that. And I'll tell you what, I was like, I am one step away from leaving this place and going back to my home and forgetting all about the things that I've seen. All about it. But the Lord wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me. He said, Rick, your mom was right. When you were a young person, you should never go in a place like this. Never. But Rick, you're no longer there. You're now my kid. All right? And you know I've called you. You know the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been trained. You're like these apostles here. All right? You know all these things. And yes, now you've been exposed to a very difficult situation. Hard to imagine America can be like that. In that place. But God said, it's not just here, it's everywhere. You've been protected. You've been sheltered. And I'm glad your mom did that. I needed it. But right now, Rick, it's time for me to pull the blinders off and to make you aware of the burden that I have for these people. I want the love of Christ to come into this place here. I want them to know about John 3:16. And along with that, just to make it real happy, faithfully serve me, I'm going to reward you by having this place closed down. And he did. In time. Okay? He said, so that's carrot on a stick, whatever like that. But I'll tell you what, it's going to take nothing but hard work and prayer. When we were on that route up there, when we got together, we prayed. And I mean to tell you, we prayed a lot because we didn't even know what we were doing up there. We'd never done a bus route in our lives. None of us did. And we were being confronted by things that we never thought we'd ever see. Americans. A place like this. An awful place. A sinful place. And right here in Carroll County. And so God said, you know what? I'll work through you, and I'm going to go ahead and perform a greater work. You want to jump out of the boat? Well, buddy, this is where you're going to do it. All right? And I will use you in a way that you will never forget. God prepared me. When I got finished that ministry there, and I went to Bible college over by Chicago there, all right, God said, now you're here. He said, Rick, I want you to have a ministry at the jail there, Cook County Jail, he said, but then I want you to go down to the ghettos of Chicago. You know, Rick, that I could do greater things through you. You know that I will care for you and take care of you. You know those things. All right? So I want you now, because of what I've taught you and what you've learned about me, I want you now to go down there. All right? And I want you to go down there with the love of Christ. And they're not going to be real happy about you down there. They're going to be mean to you. They're going to scare the daylights out of you. They're going to scare the daylights out of your son. And believe me, they did. One day I was down there, and I got myself in a situation, and the hair of my head stood up. My two boys grabbed my legs, and I told them, I said, we're getting out of here as fast as we can, and just keep running. We went down those steps. It was in a project building, a high-rise project in South Chicago. We got out of there, we jumped in our van, and I'll tell you, we didn't have money for anything back in those days. We got in that van, and we took the Skyway out of Chicago. You had to pay to get on that. But I told the boys, I said, we're getting out of here as quick as we can. All right? And we did. All right? And we paid the price. But you know what happened? The next Saturday morning, I got together with Gary and myself, who was my co-partner there. We had a guy that had started a church down in South Chicago, one of the other students there. Got together, and we thought, now, Lord, maybe this is not a really good idea, you know. And we talked to him about it. And no matter how we talked to God about it, he didn't give us, he said no. Because the verses, you know, greater works. You're talking about greater works. Well, I've got a greater work down there. You'll never forget what I'll do with you down there. Never, as long as you live. And you're going to be able to share that with missionaries as you go into his training course there and tell them about my greater works. And so, that Saturday, back we went. And we went back there again, and we were able to see a family, a wife whose husband was in jail over Cook County, and she trusted Christ as Savior. All right. Wonderfully saved. She was so happy to be in Jesus. I'm telling you, I got happy. I mean, she made me real happy in that situation there. Greater works. And yet, I got told you here, God, what God did with me, he took me into a place, awful place, a place that turned my stomach. In that house, they had an apartment, they had a stove there right next to me, and on that stove they had a frying pan there that had grease in it, and there was a steady trail of cockroaches going up and down that place. I'm like, why in the world am I here? Well, I don't know where that guy is that I led to the Lord that night, but he knows why I was there, and I know too. So here we are, folks. God said, I'm going to show you some stuff here. I'm going to show you what's going on in this world today. All right? And you know about me and what I can do. Now, you know what? You need to start talking to me about what you can do about it. You're no rookie. You've been down the road. All right? And we've seen God do greater works. This whole church here is greater works. And so maybe you'll be like me today or tonight, praying, now God, show me how to deal with this thing. I can witness on one-on-one basis. But what more can I do? It's so awful. It's so terrible. Well, you've been in worse places probably than that in some ways. And God just said, you saw me work there. Those people were wide open to the gospel, even though they scared you half to death the way they acted. God said, well, I want you to trust me now. We need to trust God for greater works. You've got a work going on today. Pretty cool. You got it all laid out. It's the same routine day after day and all that. Well, God said, it's time to get out of the boat and trust me for something even greater in your life. Could be a greater prayer life. We need prayer. I'll tell you what, when I went to Chicago, I had people back here at Open Door praying for me in that ministry. I needed it. They were holding the rope for me as I went down in the hole telling people about Jesus Christ. We're holding the rope right now, and we should be for our missionaries down there in Grenada. But maybe tonight God's speaking to your heart. Or maybe you think, well, you know what? I got to think this thing over, Pastor Rick, and see if God allows that burden to be even greater. And if he does, that God will show me what it is exactly he wants me to do in this situation. He'll show you. There's not one place you can go where God won't go with you. All right? And when we go there, this whole world needs to know about the love of Christ. They deserve it just as much as any one of us in this room right now. We're going to go ahead and close. But if God's spoken to your heart in some way, maybe concerning greater works, say, God, I'm going to start trusting you for something greater. I can't do a whole lot, but maybe there's more I can do. Maybe we can start trusting this church to figure out how can we be more effective in the world we live in today. This world is so crazy. My head's spinning. God said, well, I know all about it. Just get with me and I'll help you work this thing out. I'll help you to understand how to deal with this and show my compassion and concern. We're going to go ahead and stand. Pastor Brian's going to go and lead us in song here. But if God's spoken to your heart, maybe you need to come up here and say, yes, God, I want greater works. I want you to use me in some special way. I love my nation. I care about my nation. Boy, it is such a confusing thing right now. Help me, Lord, to know my part in bringing revival to our country. God will show you. He always does.